Scripture reading this morning comes to us from two places, actually. Exodus chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, and then Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 through 20, as we continue our Christianity and Culture series. Listen to the Word of God. But Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." And the Lord said to him, "Who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you are to speak." Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 through 20. Jesus is speaking. "When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Same God who inspired these words, incline our hearts and our minds to their understanding. Pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, we are today 3 weeks into our Christianity and Culture series. We begin it, of course, with a look at addictions and our other gods. Last week we considered what our sensus divinitus, what the divine in our senses, what the sacred homing device planted in our soul as faithful people of God. Last week we considered what our sensus divinitus observed and felt as we looked at the book Unbroken by Laura Hillenbrand, and we were led to consider together what it means to live in a constant state of forgiveness. In light of Jesus' teaching on the subject in Matthew 18, 21 to 35, and Louis Zamperini's ability to forgive the bird, that incredibly violent leader in the prisoner of war camp that he spent many years in. And this morning we are considering what our sensus divinitus might glean from the world of cinema, and in particular, the film The King's Speech. How many people have seen it? Good. Nice to know that some of you folks are doing your homework here when we get to the Christianity and Culture series. It is a great film. If you haven't seen it, I really want to encourage you to look at it. It's a great film. It won 4 Academy Awards this last spring, including Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Director, and Best Original Screenplay. As a bit of intro, for the sake of those who have not seen the film, right off the cover, we read that Colin Firth plays the title role of King George VI, who must overcome a lifelong debilitating speech impediment to lead his nation after England's throne is suddenly thrust upon him when a royal family scandal and impending war come home. His wife, Elizabeth, played by Helena Bonham Carter, shortly after the scene that we're going to see in just a second, secretly enlists a rather unorthodox speech therapist, Lionel Logue, played brilliantly by Jeffrey Rush, to help the king find his voice. In this first clip, it is painfully obvious that there is a lot of work ahead of them. Watch. How many people have sweaty palms just imagining what the Duke was going through? I contrast this scene with the one that caught my eye in the rearview mirror as I was coming home after driving Karen to work on Tuesday morning. In my rearview mirror, I see a girl driving the car behind me, clearly singing at the top of her lungs, tapping the steering wheel, bopping her head, very clear about every single word she was singing into whatever song it was she was listening to. Her windows, of course, were up, so I didn't actually hear her singing, but it was clear that she knew every word to that song. And to contrast that scene on Tuesday morning to this scene, I mean, we so identify with the Duke, soon to be king, here in this scene, don't we? And doesn't the director do an amazing job of heightening the tension through the nonverbal stuff going on with the audience that had gathered to listen to the speech? Such angst, such struggle. We sense the Duke's fear and anxiety. Especially, you sense the Duke's fear and anxiety if you are like half of the general population whose greatest fear in the world is public speaking. How many people here say, "That's my fear"? I'll use my hands, don't ask me to talk in front of anybody. If you've seen the film, you know what a struggle it is for the king to find his voice. What a challenge it was for him to not just work on the process and the procedures related to speaking, but to also work on the personal and psychological issues that no doubt were a part of the reason he has the challenge that he does. And perhaps, just perhaps, he knew all too well how Moses must have felt when God called him and asked him to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let the people go. What is Moses' response to that? It was our Old Testament reading for today. "Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now. I am slow of tongue and slow of speech." Moses, stubborn and stammer too, and wanted God to send someone else to confront the mighty Pharaoh. But alas, we know the rest of the story. Moses does go to Pharaoh, and after, well, not a few plagues, ultimately God's voice given through Moses is heard, and the Exodus occurs. But King George VI doesn't get there the same way Moses does. And there are times when I wanted him in the film to own the reality that Matthew points out in the passage from the gospel before us today. I mean, I wanted to say to him, "Relax. Don't worry about what you are to say, for the words will be given to you at that time." But alas, that was Jesus speaking to the disciples as they were about to embark on the mission to the 70. And I'm not sure God always works that way when we are called to be in front of people speaking. And I had a Pentecostal preacher brother who used to quote this chapter and verse to me and other people all the time. "What you are to say will be given you at the time." And so, as a preacher, he never prepared. Yeah. And one time before a community Lenten service, I told him, "Brother, I'll be praying for you as you prepare to speak." And he replied to me that he didn't prepare. He just relied on the Holy Spirit to give him the words. And so the service came and went. And after a very long and disjointed sermon, he asked me what I thought of his message. I said, "Well, Tom, the Holy Spirit told me to tell you you should have prepared." And he was such a friend that I could say that to him. And we worked together after that for some time. Obviously, King George is well prepared. It's just that we find out there's a whole lot more going on in his heart and mind and life as he struggles with his rise to the monarchy and to find his voice. John Van Sloten has said, to be a human being uniquely is to have a voice. A voice that allows us to give self-expression to our very being so that we can say what needs to be said and, God willing, have our voices be heard. It is something that we all long for, to speak and to be heard. This is something that God made us for, just as He made Moses to speak and to be heard. My friends, every single one of us was made in the image of a God who speaks. And to be able to speak it all, authentically and articulately, and most of all, I think, lovingly, is to reflect the image of the invisible God who made us. Which is why it is so very critically important that we choose our words wisely and give a nod, at least from time to time, to the fact that we are not to live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. I mean, who of us has not been on the receiving end of a speech or a voice that cut us to the core of our being and hurt our hearts? Whoever said sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me, had no idea how wrong they were. French philosopher Moville Ponty has said, of all the bodily functions, speech is the most intimately linked with communal existence, or as we shall put it, coexistence. And if that coexistence is going to be beneficial to humanity, then our speech must have at its core the Spirit of Christ. To put it a little differently, to exist is to have a voice. Which is why I personally identified very strongly with this film. We root for this king. We feel what we do when we see him struggle because we want him to have a voice, just as we want to have a voice. All of us want to be heard, and not just to be heard, but to be understood. There is no doubt that at the core of our being, there is this desire to come into our own, to express our own voice. Parker Palmer has written a little book whose title really captures this theme, and the title of the book is Let Your Life Speak. We want King George's life to speak just as we want our own to speak. We want the voice that God has given us to come through loud and clear. Those of you who have seen the film remember that great scene where Lionel and the king are in Westminster Abbey, and Lionel, who has just been busted for not being a doctor, quote unquote, even though he never said he was a doctor, but people thought he was a speech therapist and a doctor and properly credentialed. And so he's arguing there in Westminster Abbey back and forth with the king, and Lionel is sitting in the chair there in Westminster Abbey that was reserved for the king to sit in. And Lionel says to the king, why should I waste my time listening to you? And then there's this powerful moment where the king says, because I have a voice. And there is this dramatic pause that is amazing. And Lionel looks at the king and he says, yes, you do. Yes, you do. We all do, don't we? We have a voice. We have a life that is to let God speak. So what is it that helps us find our voice? We could spend a long time talking about that, I think, but I want to just suggest a few things this morning. First of all, I think that the voice of others in our lives, all throughout our lives, helps us find our voice. I will never forget in college, during the summer, there was a professor that had a little plot of ground that he let students go out and garden. And I was out hoeing my row one day. Communication arts, literature major, headed to teach English down in Virginia. And I'm hoeing my row, and I look up, and Roy Kaufman, one of my favorite professors, sitting on his hoe like this, got his chin resting on his hands that's resting on the top of the hoe. And he's standing there, and he's looking at me, and I stop, and I look at him, and I said, "What are you looking at, Roy?" And he said to me, "Have you ever thought about the ministry?" And I think he saw my jaw drop to the ground. Because I had said nothing to anyone except Karen about my sense of call. The voice of others can largely influence how we come into our own voice. Just a very brief conversation with Bob this morning in the narthex. Kermit's fifth grade teacher. I said, "Did you ever say anything to Kermit at any point in your career about how he should be a teacher?" And Bob said, "Kermit taught me." The voice of others largely influences how we come into our own voice. Think about the voice of others that has influenced you and indeed set you on the path to finding your own voice. I think, secondly, our own unique interests and gifts help us find our voice. And I think that they have to go together. I think there's a connection. Even though I think also they both can be developed. I'm interested in medicine and science. And I love and I am fascinated by discussions with Dave Page and Dan Irby. But I do not have the giftedness to be a physician. I knew that when I failed algebra the first time. And my first year of chemistry. Those numbers, man, get me all the time. But I love words. Our interests have to match our giftedness. And I think there too has to be an element of integrity to our voice. When our life speaks, it's because what we do and what we say is honorable and pleases God. And there are an infinite variety of ways that this can happen. Teachers and nurses and steel fabricators and counselors and artists and accountants all find their voice when what they do is done with honor and integrity. But also, there has to be an element of joy that is experienced when we find our voice. It is not just enough to let our life speak with honor and integrity. We have to enjoy what we do. And if we don't, I want to suggest to you this morning that we need to be doing something else. And to be open to where God might lead us to do that. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times when we are frustrated in our work. When things are hard and frustrating and not joyful at all. There are times when you will have to get a root canal right before you have Achilles surgery, right before you have to get back to work. In the words of Van Morrison, "Mama told me there'd be days like this." But when joy is consistently and constantly elusive in our work, we have to consider that perhaps God wants us to find our voice in other ways. And finally, I want to suggest that for us to truly and authentically find our voice, there will be a spiritual connection to it for the people of God. There will be a way for us to see and sense God in what we do and what we say. We will have some sense that what we say are God's words, and what we do is God's good work done through the gifts and talents that He's given us. And we would be wise to acknowledge that from time to time. Especially when Scripture calls us to realize how connected we are to Him and to each other. Consider just the one verse from John 15, which was the theme verse for Work Camp this year, where Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Cut off from me, you can do nothing." There has to be a spiritual connection for our voice to be authentically God's voice. So as we watch this final scene this morning, I'd like it to serve to motivate us to think about finding our own voices. And maybe also about how we have helped or are helping perhaps others find their voices today. And may we be filled with gratitude that we have been created in the image of God who speaks in a variety of ways. Watch. Let us pray. Lord, you have given to each of us a voice, and you desire for our life to speak. Grant that we would know as we live for you, and as we speak for you. Thank you, Lord, for all those who help or have helped us find our voices. And as we continue to live and serve you, may your voice become clearer, and we be filled with gratitude. Because that's exactly what's happening. And we pray in your name. Amen.